Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Patient Activation Network podcast. We're streaming live here at the Plaintree International Conference on Patient-Centered Care. I'm your host, Matt Cavallo, and I have Tanya Dietrich with me. Tanya is an author and a speaker, and she's here today to share her personal story. So if you would, let's give Tanya a warm welcome.
Thanks. Did you hit some things? Thanks. Sorry, little technical thing. Good morning. It's just a great morning to be alive, isn't it? I'm so happy to be here. And I'm delighted to be in front of such an awesome audience, knowledgeable and compassionate. I have not had the experience of being in a Plaintree hospital, but I do live in Derby, Connecticut, where Plaintree is located, and I was able to tour Griffin Hospital with Pat Charmel's help, and I was just blown away. So I really, really know the quality and the compassion of the people that I'm in front of, and I'm extremely, extremely grateful to be here.
Well, and we're happy to have you. So let's jump into your background. Let's get a little bit about your history and why you are here today.
So why I'm here today is that I am a caregiver. I'm going to talk about 10 things you might not know about the parents and caregivers of special needs kids. And I'm a grandparent of Nora, a very special needs child. And for the past 9 years, I've been with my daughter, Nora's mother, in helping care for Nora. And during that time, we've been in thousands and thousands of hours of hospitals and doctor's appointments and physical and occupational therapy and IEP meetings at school, and I am there for them all with my daughter, for Nora. A little bit about her background and why this is so important and heartfelt to me is that when Nora was born in 2008 with epilepsy, and we were totally blindsided, had no idea, and we were sort of shoved onto that roller coaster of emotions and misdiagnosis and medical trauma, and she was helicoptered from Connecticut to Boston Children's Hospital, where they diagnosed her with large left cortical dysplasia, which is a brain malformation. I'm sure that for some of you that you're familiar with that. All the cocktails of anti-seizure medications could not stop her seizures, and so they decided that she was a candidate for hemispherectomy surgery. All of the seizures were coming from the brain malformation in her left hemisphere. And so when she was 5 months old, she was one of the youngest at that time in the hospital to have the surgery. The surgeon started to disconnect her left hemisphere from her right, but the surgery was aborted because of loss of blood, and it was completed when she was 15 months old, and God bless, she's been seizure free ever since.
That's great.
So we're really excited about that. So that experience is kind of what informs what I want to talk about today. And the good news is Nora's now in third grade. She's doing great. She blows us away with all the things that she can do, and that's what I love so much. The journey inspired me to write a memoir called Waking Up with Nora, the intended pun on my awakenings and, of course, waking up in the hospital with her, that I slept in the hospital with her most nights when she was there. And the book's self-published, and all the proceeds go to helping special needs kids. I don't do anything with that except donate the monies. And I'm very passionate about that. So,
and it's a great story. And, you know, as a dad myself, it's, a very touching story. So can we talk a little bit more about the book and what the memoir addresses?
So the one of the pull quotes on the back is that every new life has the potential to make life new. That's what she did for me. She changed my perspective on a lot of things, and today I speak about perspective in all forms. In business, this is just one part of it. The thing that also makes it a little bit unique is that I was always kind of the third wheel in the room, because I wasn't really in charge of making the decisions or knowing the medical information, but I could step back and watch what was going on with her, with my daughter, with the practitioners, and you get a lot of insight as an observer. So the book is really my journey intertwined with Nora's, and there's some other emotional stuff in there, the way that she connects me to things in my past. But it's really about what it's like to do that, and I'm very passionate about kids especially. And I think right now special needs is becoming a mainstream term, but I don't know that anybody really knows what's behind the scenes when a family's impacted. Right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a full-time job, and I know you're going to be talking a little more about the 10 things we need to know about being a caregiver. Could you talk a little bit about that?
I would love to. So in the 15-minute time slot, I'm not sure that I can get through all 10, but what I did was, in your bags, there's a postcard, and on the back, this is the summary. On my website, there's a URL on the bottom of the card. There's a page just for Plaintree, and it's the details of the whole thing. All of a sudden, I can hear myself. Okay.
So, don't be afraid of it. They can all hear you, too.
Well,
but it's just
you.
A personal conversation between the two of us and all of our closest friends.
All our closest friends. Well, I think they're all new closest friends today. So so number one, I call active grieving. You know that special needs diagnosis is not an end of life diagnosis, but for us it's the end of life as we have known it. And I see a lot of shaking heads. And it's the death of a lot of dreams that we have for our kids, right? And so we face that at that point in time. But what you might not know is that our lives are littered with landmines of grief that explode every time there's another surgery, or we find out there's something that our child will never be able to do that we thought maybe they would. So also what you might not know is that we even grieve our own deaths, because we have those sleepless nights where we lay awake wondering what's going to happen to this child after we're gone. So number two, and this is, I think, a really important one, and one of the reasons that I want to talk about this so much, and it's isolation. Being a parent or caregiver of a special needs kid can be very isolating. And I think you might be surprised at how many family members and friends just don't understand how different our lives are. And some of them, I don't think, want to. They think also, you know, we tend to be in the hospital more than typical kids do, and they think, we just got this, you know? It's nothing to us. And it leads to, their attitudes often lead to a lack of support, so that when you're in the hospital, there's very few visitors. One parent is typically there managing the whole situation while the other parent is home taking care of whatever happens at home. And I know that happens with typical kids too. But the difference is that there's not a lot of relief for the parent that's there. And it becomes very, very difficult. So in these comments of mine, what I also did, and I forgot to mention at the beginning, was these are just not my feelings. When I found out that I was coming to speak here, I canvassed people across the country that are like us, and they fed back what they would want to tell you if they were sitting here. And so one of the things that across the board they responded to me with was that a special needs diagnosis for a parent or caregiver is isolating. They always feel lonely. And it's very difficult. It's very difficult for them. Okay, so we're on to number three. And number three is you, all of the medical professionals. We, as special needs parents and caregivers, almost like I feel sitting here, we live in a sea of faces, especially when we're in the hospital. And I know that you know this being on the other side. I know you put modalities into place that help us with that. But do you know or really realize, and I think maybe you do, this audience, that the expression on your face when you come into the room or when you give us information can literally make or break our day? That the energy that you bring into the room with you lingers long after you're gone. And I'm very reminded of that in those dark nights in the hospital with Nora when she was an infant. And I was sleeping there. Most of the time it was pretty scary. And in the wee hours of the morning when the nurses or the aides would come in, I would always be out of bed. And I would stand near the crib with them. And I always remember the ones who finished what they needed to do and lingered a little bit and asked me how I was and then said something encouraging about Nora. And I do also remember very well the surgeon after the first surgery when he came into the room in the ICU and her head was literally swollen twice its size and she had tubes going out of her and tubes coming into her. It was horrifying. And he stood there and he said, "Your Nora is the star of the NICU." Did he mean it? Was it true? I have no idea. But I can tell you that we lived on those words for days until she started to really rally and look like Nora again, which it's just, if you think that it doesn't matter or it doesn't make a difference, I promise you, they're one of the best, most vivid memories of our experience. So I thank you for doing what you do and encourage you to do more of it because it really does make a difference for us. So number four is time. I'm sorry, number four is loss. And this is a different kind of loss. So we know that typically parents, moms are the ones that care for the kids mostly. No dissing the dads, just saying that's the way it is. And with special needs kids, definitely more the mom. The thing about it is that, and this is another thing that the moms fed back to me from all over the country, they said, "We're struggling to keep our jobs." And most of them have given up them. They've given up their careers. They've given up their status, their place in the world, the social interaction that it brings, and definitely the paycheck that they could rely on. I see this with my daughter who has an MBA in marketing and had a really good marketing career, and now she struggles to find part-time work that's flexible because Nora takes up all of her time with the doctor's appointments and the therapy appointments and the so it's difficult. So what you might not know is that when you deal with a special needs mom, over and above the mama bear stuff that you put up with, you likely are dealing with someone who's totally spent energetically, has pretty low self-esteem, and is struggling, trying to find a new identity in this world that she's in. And she misses it. I know sometimes my daughter says she really wishes that the doctors and nurses would address her as Tracy rather than Mom. To her, that just makes such a difference. It seems like a small thing, but I see that she's really struggling to find who she was before Nora came along. And that's not about regret. It just is the way things are. Time is the next one. And special needs parents, more than most parents, have a million full-time jobs. Caring for the child is a special needs child is a full-time job. Getting the doctor's appointments, taking them to therapy, meeting with school, there's very little time for anything else. And again, what parents wanted you to know is that they can't always take the next appointment. If they're trying to keep their jobs, if they're trying to get everything for the kid, they can't always take the next appointment. And to get an appointment, it's that thing of calling, or if they need something, they call. They asked me to tell you that they need a way to leave detailed messages and they need to get a call back because they know they're probably not going to get to that phone for another 3 days. It's just the way it goes. So if there's any space for that kind of planning, that's what they would look for. How are we doing on time?
We happen to be just a little bit over. But
okay, so let me just finish with one last one.
You can do whatever you want to do.
Gee, I like that. I just want to leave the last one because I always like to leave on a higher note. So my last one is hygiene. So I think you all know this one. But with special needs moms and caregivers, hygiene is the first thing to go. When you're in a stressful situation, it's just not there. In fact, haircuts and colors and manicures and shopping, all that stuff sort of goes by the wayside anyway in life with a special needs child. But when you're in the hospital, forget about it. So we think you might know that sometimes showers are catch-as-catch-can, hairdos don't happen. Hopefully we slapped on some deodorant somewhere in the 3 or 4 days that we're in the hospital. So what you might not know is that we know and we apologize for anything unsavory that you have to put up with us. We appreciate it.
Well, we're talking to Tanya Diedrich, author of the book Waking Up with Nora. As we start to bring this to a close, do you have any closing thoughts that our audience can take away?
Just say you're appreciated and that we know we don't always take the time to say so. And sometimes we feel bad about that. So on behalf of everyone that's behind me in all of this message, I have books for sale. I would be delighted to continue this conversation at my booth number 49. Love to talk to you. Please stop by and let me know what you think and what I can bring back to my community, because they really want to know. In a non-medical situation, this is a beautiful opportunity. So I would love to speak with all of you. Thank you so much.
Well, and thank you, Tanya. On behalf of everybody, we'd like to thank you for joining us here. Are you speaking again at this conference?
I am not, just at my table.
So we can find Tanya at booth 49. And thank you so much for sharing your inspirational story. I know you really tugged on my heartstrings along with the audience as well. This has been the Patient Activation Network podcast. We will be live here all week with more inspirational stories. So please, stop by and join us. Thank you so much for attending the Plaintree International Conference on Patient-Centered Care. And we look forward to bringing you another inspirational story soon.
Thank you.